And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in all, in wisdom, in more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that he may approve things that are excellent, that he may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of this word. May we see that.
If you would just give me an hour and a half this morning, not enough time for me, but because it's a Wednesday night and in respect to you, work by the time. Now I just want to thank every minister here, Brother Ronnie, for his arrangements and for putting this meeting together. We realize that it takes a desire to see the word of the Lord and the people of God to be blessed, and it takes finances, it takes efforts, it takes manpower. And I just really want to thank God that for him and ask God to bless him and his ministry. Also realize that some of you ministers have put off your service tonight. And knowing myself, we don't have enough time with our people. You know, we just don't have enough time with our people. We believe there's just so much work to do. And so much to bring our people to. And I believe that they feel the same way. And to give up a service to come, I wouldn't want to do that if I'm not going to be a blessing. If I'm not going to be a blessing around God, not send me at all, or not come at all. Will not speak at all. And then we have to be careful that I don't be, conceited in my own wisdom that to think that I can be a blessing. But if God can use us to be a blessing, that's our desire. Not just to waste your time, not just for you to give up your service and come here and your people be confused and not blessed or something. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't believe that anybody who knows the responsibility of having souls under your care would want to do that. So I want to thank you for coming, and my prayer is that God will richly reward you tonight. And I want to say a special thank you to Brother Vishnu and Sister Mel, because they've put us up in their holiday home, and they've given us, do you call it a buggy or a car? What do you call it? We call it SUVs, sport utility vehicles. You just loaded up the refrigerator and whatever, and I pray that God would bless them richly in kindness. And when you're visiting for 2 or 3 days, it's wonderful. The pastor feeds you and his wife cooks and they take you out and everything. But when you stay for more than 3 days, you get pretty old. So it's nice. I know the feeling. It's not that we don't want to entertain or take care of, but you have to worry. Is that Brother Dan? God bless you, Brother Dan. Appreciate you being here. But you better bear with me, because my medicine allows me to forget. That's good enough for me. It's nice to be able, I feel felt a little, I told my Louis, it would be bad, I felt a little liberated, being able to get up and do my stuff and, get around and drive around and things like that. So, God bless them very much. Also, Brother Louis, if you're missing a Bible, they packed it in my bag last night. So, I'll use your sword and maybe God will give me your name. I appreciate the worship service. Did you appreciate it?
Amen.
I want to thank God for young men. I believe Brother Adrian is ministering now. And oh my goodness, it just means that we are going out. And they're coming in, we know we're getting ready to go out. It's such a nice thing to know that we can pass whatever we possess, whatever is given to us, what experiences and whatever blessing, we can pass it on to another generation with. Pass it on with a clean heart. Pass it on with a clear that they don't grow up with complexes and stumbling blocks, and they can take this on. And I promise that young men will sweep it under the coming of the Lord. Is that right? So we are so thankful to see those gifted men, and it just encourages us. That means that new generation that was before them did a good job. When you see them rise up and they begin to take their place with confidence and assurance and ready to preach the gospel.
That means somebody did a good job. Somebody showed some good seed. And that might not all be roses. We made a lot of mistakes along the way. And I'm sure the other the gentleman from the knowledge like with me in my area or whatever, we could have done better if we were wiser. But our hearts made the right place. And may God just do the best that He can with vessels like us. Now tonight I'd like to speak also I'd like to speak on the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to focus on the day of Jesus Christ, which comes in the 6th verse. Be in confidence of this very thing, and I'm praying that God will help me to keep my notes and stay with my notes. Amen. Be in confidence of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we know that He started a good work on the day of Pentecost. We know that the church as a whole began on the day of Pentecost. And we know it started with the power of God. But the power of God to quicken the seed, amen, is in a different measure, with a different focus, with a different purpose, amen, because that which can quicken the seed is not enough to change his body. We need a double portion. It's alright. That which the light that came with the pillar of fire, the light that it gave was only enough light to start the work. Amen. To begin the church. Amen. And to prove that it was not the finished work, that it will not be finished on the day of Pentecost, and that it will continue, He gave them what is called an earnest. An earnest, which means it's a sign, amen, that there's more to come. It's a sign, it's a seal. Amen. That one day that you started and you will finish. And it finished the work. And we know that there must be a finish. And we know that there are seven church ages, and the seven church ages can bring the believers only to an earnest. That's all they can do. They can bring them only to an earnest. But we know that after seven church ages, there will be a finish. We must know that there must be a finish. He that started will finish it. That is all in that finish day, the day of Jesus Christ. He has started the work. He's going to finish it. Amen. In the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to define the day of Jesus Christ. We'd like to define it. Amen. Because after seven church ages, amen, the day of Jesus Christ, the only promise we have is, I promise you, like it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So the day of Jesus Christ must be, amen, the day of the Son of Man. Because the Son of Man will finish that which he started. In other words, Romans chapter 8, 17 to 23. Amen. That we are made joint through merit and glory than through merit. Amen. Romans 8. I'm going to read it for you. Amen. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. The whole creation. Amen. The whole creation groaneth. Amen. And travaileth. Amen. They're waiting to recognize. Not until now. Now I want you to notice something that I'm literally telling you, that the finish is connected to Revelation 10:1. The finish is connected to the seventh seal. The finish is connected to the seven thunders. Amen. It is connected to glory and new address. It is connected to Genesis 18 in shadow. It is connected, amen, with Luke 17:30. It is connected to John 14:12. Amen. It's connected. Amen. The whole creation. But I know this in Revelation 10. I'm going to read Romans 8 first. It says here, for we know that the whole creation is going to be in pain until now. That now was a prophetic now. Yes. Amen. Because, amen, Paul's day they broke. In Luke's day they broke. In Jesse's day they broke. They broke for what? To be clothed in immortality. To be clothed to the body. To have the flesh out there. Amen. Now, remind us for a minute. In Romans 8. Amen. 2 Peter. Now, I'm not a preacher. I really am not. But I like to know the scriptures and make sense by my mind. If you just get that, I'm happy. Amen. You know, my screaming, sometimes I get excited about it myself. So don't worry about that. Amen. Let's forget that. But let's look at the scriptures. Because we must not misplace, we must not dislocate. Is that right? We must not misinterpret the scriptures. Is that right? Amen. And the message is designed only for the elect. In other words, I'm not preaching evangelism. I'm not trying to take an outreach for them who's coming to Christ. I'm not introducing a message. The finish is not for them who are not born again. The seventh seal cannot quicken you to eternal life. The seventh seal is not coming to quicken your eternal life. It's coming to quicken your mortal body. The seventh seal is coming for its own. You have already been born. You have already been born again. I said laying on of hands is a Jewish tradition. It doesn't belong in the local church, but it belongs with the missionaries and the evangelists. I always try to clarify that, because most people say, well, the prophet said it, but you've got to place it rightly. Brother says in Mark, in a Greek missionary talk, in that message he says, the greatest missionary text there is Mark 16. Notice what he's saying. The greatest missionary text there is Mark 16. See, go into all the world. Now, the church is not the world. I don't know about you, but my church is not considered the world. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized, the man who already with the message of Jesus Christ, they come in. That's not the world. You see, in my church, they don't have scorpions. My children don't have, you know, poison. I don't know about you, but I know how many the feeling does. It's not ever past. So Mark 16, laying on our hands, belongs to the missionary and the evangelist. Amen. Prayer line belongs with the missionary and the evangelist. You can't take it out of the missionary realm, but you can take it out of the local message church. Because, amen, they have a higher order.
Amen.
See, they have a higher order. You say, what order that is? The man said, if you're any sick among you, let them call the elders. James 5:14. See? Let them call the elders.
The pastor says, and when they were all, the prayer of faith, what are you going to say?
And you can interpret the elders as the deacons, so that must be a local church with a government.
See what I'm saying?
So I don't want to mislead. Sometimes you don't have enough time to balance everything. See? So the missionary, the evangelist, but it doesn't belong to the local church. Amen. Now, also, prayer lines, certainly, the missionary, the evangelist, but it doesn't belong in the local church.
They say, but you need, well, how do you operate?
Well, I don't stop anybody from coming in a prayer line. I don't stop anybody from coming to the altar. I meet them where their feet is, but I teach them where they should be.
Amen.
See, that's the responsibility of the local church. See? Alright, now. To clarify some of these areas here, 2 Peter chapter 1. And the 4th verse. Whereby they have given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So now, we see here that in 2 Peter 1, 4, he gives us a divine nature. That's the quickening of the gene or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so that's the earnest. That's the beginning of the work for the individual. But the work of the church perspective started on the day of Pentecost. So you have the church perspective, you have the individual perspective. So it's the divine nature, and this divine nature allows you to escape the corruption that is in the world.
Amen.
Now what corruption is in the world? Ungodly desires and religion. Now that's really the problem.
Amen.
If you're born again, Allah can escape the beast and the image of beast system.
Amen.
The corruption. Amen. Every age they came out of the system. And every age they were born out of the divine nature, Allah to overcome the religion and the corruption of their nation. See? It can allow you to escape the corruption.
Amen.
That's in the world through religion. White horse fire, black horse fire, red horse fire. Amen. And so forth. But that divine nature, amen, allow you to escape the corruption. Amen. They needed something more to escape the better.
Amen.
You need something more to escape the better. We find the earnest, being born of the Word. Was Adam born of the Word? Yes. Adam was born of the Word in Genesis 1:26. Then in 2 Peter 1:48, we see that Paul Peter introducing the image. Character. Amen. What's up the work progress in the book of 2 Peter? The whole book of Genesis, amen, of Adam and Eve and Eden is in 2 Peter. He gives them, you're born of the Word. 1 Peter 1:23, you're born of the incorruptible Word, and the incorruptible seed by the Word of God. That's living in body forever. You're born again. 2 Peter 1:4, you're born by nature. Amen. 2 Peter 1:4-8. minister unto you.
Yes.
Man, Malachi 4, behold, I send you Elijah, which is, amen, the ministry of the Son of Man. Before the break and pray with the other. And 11, we see a minister unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This entrance that's ministered unto you into an everlasting kingdom is not to be placed into the body of Christ. Amen. This is to be placed in the future home. Without this ministry, this entrance that is ministered unto you, there is no future home. Because you can't go to the future home even if you have a divine nature. A divine nature alone cannot take you to the future home. Amen. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit that. Amen. 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 So let's go to the book. Can you go, teacher? Old Romans. How many times do you have?
Yes, sir.
John chapter 3. Let's look at it. So, we are teaching sons. You can't teach who are not sons. You can't follow. But you can teach sons to root, to ground, to establish, to write and divide, to know how to pray, to know what to expect. Amen. John chapter 3, sorry. Did I say first John or something? Yeah, John chapter 3. Most of you know where I'm going already. What's the third verse? Jesus answered and said unto him, Very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's not entering. That means to understand. He gave you the Jews to understand the word for your day that will escape the corruption of religion in your day as you live in.
Amen.
See means to understand.
Amen.
You quicken to the word and by the word. Amen. Now, God will repeat himself, does he? He does that. Now, watch the fifth verse. He's not saying the same thing over. He's saying something different. He said, Jesus said, Very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, you must be born again.
Amen.
That's a prerequisite. You understand, but there is an entrance to be ministered to you.
Amen.
One more time, we're going to the book of 1 Corinthians. Are you happy?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. 29 verse. This is the chapter that Paul speaks of. The Beulah showing our mystery. Remember that? 51 verses of Beulah showing our mystery. We shall not all see, but we shall be changed. That's the finish. That must be in the day of Jesus Christ. So he has begun the work. We'll finish it in the day of Jesus Christ when the mystery that was shown in letter form will be preached back in a revealed form under the seventh seal.
Amen.
The Lord light is shown.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It was given to Paul by the pillar of fire to write it. But it was never given to Paul to preach it.
Amen.
So can you back that up? The brothers didn't like the Son of Man. And if you like the Son of Man, I cannot see the head, I don't know about that. And God said the spirit of discernment, the spirit of the judgment, the spirit of truth that knows all things. And then here we go. See? Okay, so watch this carefully now. So, in the 51st verse, Paul shows us the mystery of the finish, which happens in the day of Jesus Christ. You got it? You finish it. Now, watch the 49th verse. Talking about the body. And as we have body image of the earthly, that's right. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We bore the image of our earthly body. We will bear the image of our heavenly body. Is that right?
Amen.
We will bear the image of our glorified body. Amen. We bore the image of Adam. We will bear the image of Christ Jesus. And the climax of his image was a glorified body.
Amen.
Is that right? What said that? Now watch the 50th verse. Now this I say unto you, that Christians will come and inherit the kingdom of God.
Hey.
It cannot inherit it, it can't even enter it. So he that began the good work with the new birth will give you ability to understand the word. Will give you the ability to be healed. Amen. Until the day of your redemption, the day of your redemption is the day of Jesus Christ. It is the day when the book becomes over. It is the day of the Son of Man, who is the day of the seven seals, it is the day of the seven thunder, which unfolds in a threefold mystery, a shout, a voice, and a trumpet.
Amen.
Almost tempted to go a little further. But I'm also tempted to be quite cautious. We're in a mixed congregation. Now drop a piece. Forgive it. If you don't like it, put it aside. Because, you know, there used to be a saying in the first generation. The saying was, it wasn't quite wise, but it was wise at that time. They used to say, hey, I don't preach doctrine in Love Man Church.
Mm.
And they used to be quite things. Not about it, but hey, I don't preach doctrine in Love Man Church. That means that your own local church will never be perfected.
Yeah.
Because they'll never have the trial of their faith. That means if you only preach doctrine and nobody else did, so that means they'll never know if it was right or not right, if it's balanced or not balanced, if it's levels.
Amen.
That's not quite my
business.
You say, hey, I don't read doctrine when I go outside. Well then, I can't have you. You might come out and invite you, but I wouldn't just go all the way to invite you. Because you can't have my people. I can have a deacon tell me stay with the world. I can have a deacon say, don't kick the TV on. Hey, you leave this message, don't let the world come in. I can have a deacon do that. I should not give the Lord time.
Amen.
Somebody say, hey, the prophet of the word is true. You know that? But the Bible of ministry is to produce rapture in faith.
Yeah.
And you can't produce rapture in faith without preaching the opening of the word.
Yeah.
And you can't preach the opening of the word without doctrine. You see, that's the root. Root. It's heaven. That's what's
in the
Bible.
Yeah.
It's a whole verse about that. But it's sin when you examine it.
Amen.
In fact, you can't even have good conduct with an order without doctrine.
Right.
Yeah. Conduct, doctrine shapes your conduct. Because, amen, doctrine allows you to make the right kind of judgment.
Yeah.
Judgment that brings glory, judgment that brings blessing.
Right.
Judgment that makes gifts honor.
Amen.
Yeah. So, conduct in order cannot be established without doctrine. Roots and ground established. Now, of course, you know, I'm making a big tour for the teaching ministry so that those guys get a bad licking. They get a bad licking because evangelist is safer than bringing your church. Then he goes after sin, goes after, you know, people behaving badly, you know, good stuff, and everybody can do that. But I can get a good denomination preacher to preach on sin too. And he will be right on the word.
Amen.
But teaching ministry, you have to be careful because if you don't build your church right, they'll find you.
Amen.
Your
Amen. Amen.
You know that, Pastor. And we know that. That's why a teaching ministry should never attack, it should present.
Amen.
Because it intimidates. If you don't build your church right, if your concepts are not right, if you're off balance, he doesn't even know it, but he'll find it.
Amen.
And when he finds it, you have to worry, do I want to look good before the people, or do I want my people to look good before in the world?
Mm.
that your kingdom's not much in
your
mother. And it's not much in your pastor. So this finish course was sincere men who will not deceitfully use the word of God.
Yes, amen.
Now, first Corinthians chapter 4,
before we come to the glory. He said, we don't not finish with it. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the kind of ministry it will take to finish the course. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, notice.
This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The prophet used 2 Corinthians chapter 3 to preach the unveiling of God.
Amen.
Seven seals, the mighty conqueror. The unveiling of God is the mighty conqueror.
Amen.
Amen. King eternal, King immortal, the one who gives eternal life, the one who will change your body.
Amen.
Amen. Who is the good candidate?
Yeah.
It's alright, who do you say this is? Brethren, Solomon's here now.
Amen.
He just preached, he used 2 Corinthians. And if you notice, that ties into 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For here, the Spirit said to the deep things of God, I have not seen, ears have not heard.
Amen.
Amen. But that Spirit is coming to do it.
Yes, ma'am.
See? Now watch what he goes in to say. He says, but the Lord is that Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord is that Spirit.
Amen.
And let the Spirit of the Lord is heaven, liberty, and full of God. That we are changed from glory unto glory until His very image. That's the finish. That's the
finish
of the heavenly. And then, see, and then what comes in the fourth word, which man puts the chapter division, but there's no really no division. It's a continuation of the same thought.
Yeah.
So when we read it, it kind of looks like it's jumping into another concept. It's not. So Paul continues.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry?
Did Paul have that ministry? Was Paul prophesying of someone that is going to have that ministry? Did Paul have the ministry of the Son of Man? Did Paul, could Paul have unveiled? He wrote it. You know he wrote it. But Paul never preached the unveiling of God. Paul couldn't preach with his
brother.
Paul couldn't do that. See, we have this ministry.
Amen. As we have been received mercy and faith now, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if now what we have the prophet is coming to preach the God of this evil age, and he takes his text right to the next verse, even but if all of us will be hid.
Amen.
What gospel is that? That's the open book gospel.
Amen.
That's the 17th gospel. After he's unveiled. If you don't see the unveiling of God, then you're worshiping the God of this evil age.
Amen.
After Jesus opened the seals in Matthew 24,
he said, this gospel shall be preached. After Revelation 10:1 comes out and opens the seals, reveals the seal. It says, and she gave the book, then you must preach again.
Yes.
This gospel is not only God, but this gospel, the open book gospel, and the seals are open.
And if this reveals to have a seal, it's here. It's here to them.
Yes.
Amen. That are lost. That means souls in prison.
Yes.
See? Alright. Second Peter again. Seems like a lot of work, isn't it? Seems like I'm making you turn all those pages.
Oh my, if you're telling the Bible, you take it forever. You know what I mean? That must mean your Bible must become a new book.
Amen.
And mine in the messages be using it.
Amen.
It's becoming useful. I'm only teasing you. Sometimes you just have to show the candy all the way to get you to remember. Okay, now. Second Peter, he said, an entrance shall be ministered unto you in everlasting name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? He sees the Lord in the everlasting. So this ministry comes in to bring a body change. Doctrine. Bring a body change. And that period of time when the ministry enters or starts, that's the ministry of the Son of Man beginning. Now bear with me just for a moment. We did it last night, and I hope that he started the good work by planting the church. But the planting of the church and the maturing of the church or the harvest is two different things. There must be a planting and there must be a reaping. Is that right? There must be a sowing, there must be a reaping. He has begun the good work. How do you begin? You plant the seed. Then it must be reproduced. Is that right? Now, okay. So now, the entrance, when did the entrance start? When did the ministry of the Son of Man start? 1946. Because the Son of Man had three quotes. And when I said that, everybody got quiet. How many quotes did the Son of Man have? Three. When did the first quote start? 1946. What happened in 1946? The fig tree put forth its bud and all other trees. 1946, Israel became a nation. Is that right? When did it start? When did the season begin? It began, when it took forth its shoot, that summer is near. Summer means harvest time. Summer is not measured in one day. Summer is a season. Amen. Then the Son of Man is not a day. It's a season. Then the day of Jesus Christ is not a day. It's a season. Alright, now if you look at this program, preach the message for harvest time. Now, the word harvest time, the word time there, there are three Greek words for time. One is chronos, that's chronological time. The other one that I want to stress is called kairos. That's the word used by the prophet. Kairos does not talk about chronological time. Chronos. It is a season that brings an opportunity.
Amen.
And when the children of Israel rejected Jesus, and he went up crying like David, the rejected king, he said, now your nation, your city is not desolate. He said, because you did not know the time of your visitation, or the hour, that's chronos. You did not know the season that brought you an opportunity. You missed it. See? So, it is also the word used in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Can we look at it? 4 and 5. I know you're going to ask me, how many fingers do you think I have, Lord? But it's important that I show you that this day of Jesus Christ is not talking about an instantaneous something. The day of the Son of Man is not an instantaneous something. The day of redemption is not an instantaneous something. It's a season. Many things happen in it. Now, 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Amen. Not carefully. This is the Son of Man here. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. How can you judge when you know in part? You don't know the whole story. How can you judge and say it's an absolute? You can judge. You look at how they thought of it, but Luther said it was right. They believed it by faith, but a messenger come in this day and told us Luther was right. And a pit of fire backed him up. And said there was certain parts in Luther didn't have right. And statements Luther made, and a life Luther lived by smoke, by drinking beer and smoking cigars.
Amen.
He said, judge nothing. Amen. He said, judge nothing before the time. That was serious. Judge nothing before the season, because why? There is the judge coming. And when he comes, he will speak for an absolute.
Amen.
Amen. You can't judge when the book is closed. You can't judge when the book is open.
Amen.
Because he judges by his word.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, sir.
So this is the entrance. We made it.
Yeah.
See? First one gets one by. I know nothing of my death yet, but never just a little bit of time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. What's happening? That the deep things. He says again, the deep things.
Amen.
I know and make manifest the conscience of the heart, that Hebrews 13:8. And then every man shall have praise of God because they haven't seen this before.
Yes.
They haven't been on the earth for 2,000 years. And when they see it, they praise God. That's the nature of Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Man, it's good.
Amen. Are you happy? Second Corinthians. Second Peter. One more time now. The entrance is made known. He said, when did the entrance start? 1946. How do you know that? The first school of the Son of Man starts in 1946. Now, he said, Israel. What happened in 46? That's right after the sixth trumpet, right after World War II. Naomi, Israel, is coming into the homeland in the harvest time. During barley harvest, she's coming in. Ruth is coming in. And when they're coming in, the harvest season has begun, and Boaz is getting ready to walk the land. Boaz is God in human flesh. The Son of Man. Is that true? Jesus has three quotes, Son of Man. Son of Man, first quote, Psalm 946. Okay, watch carefully. Israel is not dead. Israel is blind. Blindness is coming Israel in part. Is that right? Until Ruth.
Amen.
Until Ruth comes on the scene. When Ruth comes on the scene, we know that Naomi redemption is not far behind. Amen. Amen. And once Naomi is coming into the homeland, and Ruth is going into the field, the harvest field. Amen. And Boaz is there to tell her, stay in this field. Attention to stay in his field. Man, take off 1946. Now, watch carefully. Let's keep 2 Peter in the book of James, chapter 5. I don't know other way to do it. James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Make patience means, hey, have faith. Patience is a product of faith. Is that right? They already have believed, and they already heard the word. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. Who is the husbandman?
I am the vine, the branches, my father is the husband.
And is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth.
Amen.
Now the precious fruit of the earth is the bride.
Amen. Amen.
He's waiting for the harvest. Amen. Amen. Of them that he planted in the earth. Amen. Some of them are living, some of them are dead. He's waiting for the precious fruit. In other words, he's waiting for harvest time.
Amen.
Hey, here comes the pillar of fire. Right over the grave of the cross. See? He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Amen. The precious fruit of the earth. Watch carefully now. Let's see who is waiting. James 5, 7. He says here, behold, waiting for the precious fruit. I have long waited, for I came to receive the early and the latter rain.
Well, we know that coming in the first of the month.
And the early and the latter rain comes at the harvest time. Early and the latter rain. Amen. You know both of them will fall together.
Amen.
And we know because it's falling together, sometimes you get confused because we don't know what is the former rain and what the latter rain. What they get. Because even you have the prophetic seal included and the prophet is preaching, and every once in a while you jump on the turf. Hidden mystery in it. In the same books. If I might say this, let me say this. We showed yesterday.
mentioned that the first big seal is turn our hearts back to our solid Father. The second seal turn us back to Adam's faith. Adam, Eve, and Eden. Okay, now watch carefully. If you don't know what your message is, and you put the two of them together, you will never produce a rapture. Because the first 16 cannot produce a rapture. It can restore your heart back to Pentecost, apostolic fathers, which is not only Pentecost, but I'm saying, back to another Ephesians. Amen. I want to be careful. The brother said, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today.
Yeah.
Even though from 1950 to 1965, he taught it, we must go back to Pentecost, we must go back to Pentecost. Many a time he meant, let's go back to an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To a new birth. But sometimes he meant go back to Pentecost, literally, the early church. Then he said that, until he was corrected in 1965 in a message to pick it up, Invisible Union, to pick it up.
Amen.
Where he said, the word that fell on Pentecost will not come up today.
Amen.
This is something different.
Yeah.
Pentecost, Laodicea Pentecost represented that.
Yeah. Amen.
Notice, 1906 represents the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Amen. The day of Pentecost, like the day of Pentecost, but the day of Pentecost, they want to mature. Amen. He has to send out Paul to the Pentecostals to place the gift and to bring the church in order. In 1906, the Pentecost started. He sent another Paul, amen, to place the gift in order. Take it out because there was an adoption in the
house. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Like that back there, but they need a poor to set the kids in order, the thing right, to get a woman back in place. See? Okay. Alright, now. So, can we read again? James chapter 5. He waited for the precious fruit. Don't get out of the room. Okay. But he shall be patient and establish your hearts. Come here, Lord, right now. Rush not one against another, lest he be condemned. Behold, the judge stand before the door.
See? In other words, the time that he is coming, when the former has arranged, the Bible said he will come as the rain. The former has arranged. That's the scripture. Amen. Notice. In the time of the former has arranged, in the harvest time, he said, behold, the judge standing at the door. Amen. In Revelation 3:20, says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And the knocking is to attract your attention to the first two
things. Amen.
And after you attract your attention, he said, I said, if any man hear my voice, the voice that's behind the signs, that was the judge knocking on the door.
Yes.
That's James. Waited for the precious. Amen. Go on, not now. 1946, Israel is in their homeland. Summer time has started. Harvest time has begun. Amen. Malachi 4:2 begins. The sun of righteousness is rising with healing in its wings. In our healing revival. In our healing campaign. Now, Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans. Chapter 11. I'm afraid I'm not confused you. I have the same thought. I'm not mixing, I'm not spreading, I'm not shut down. I'm trying to show you that the entrance is ministered unto us, the day of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the day of redemption, is the same day. But it's not a literal momentary thing, it is a season. And I can't try to tell you the season started in 1946. The harvest time or the resurrection season started in 1946. The power to raise the dead was standing in human flesh on earth in 1946, and not one single disease of corruption can pass him without him overcoming it. Because healing and restoration is the same word. If he can restore your body temporarily, can he not restore your body permanently? Oh, follow again, just a little bit.
Romans 11. The day the entrance being made, the day of Jesus Christ, 11, and let's read the 15th verse.
For if the casting away of them, that is for the victory, be the reconciling of the world, that's the Gentile world, what shall be the receiving of the enemy? Now here, Israel is cast out. Jews are cast out of Israel. Amen. That's Naomi. Amen. In Bethlehem, Judah, the place of the greatest quality of drinking and bread. Oh, the word bread. Can you imagine a famine in the land in a place like that? Where the best water is? It's because they rejected Christ.
Amen.
And then they're scattered all over the world.
Amen.
See? Now she's coming back in 1946. Because God has visited a nation to form it again.
Amen.
See? Now she's going back into her homeland. But watch now. If the casting away be the reconciling of the Gentile world, what shall the receiving of them be in 1946? But life from the dead means resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If they come in, but if they go in,
he can see
why he's against denomination. Understand? How can you be a messenger at age and you know what's going on in the age? Send him around the world to see it. But that's Revelation 3:14. Now, Revelation 3:14 has a different word from Revelation 10:7, even though they're the same star messenger. 3:14, he is interested not in an individual repentance, he is a church age messenger. He wants the whole age to repent. That is why when they come to him, amen, my church is not saying what you say, he said, go back and be alive. He's not interested in breaking our church. He's interested for the whole age to repent. That's why he sent them back on the 3:14. Don't you send nobody back, because he did it. Because he could, and after a while, he said, God is no day and no longer than all people. Send them back. But there was a time he sent them back. Revelation 3:14. He's trying to get the age to repent. The 1962 present stage of his ministry, when they will not repent, their teeth and their teachers have an age again and say, Brother Brown, you're washed up. He says, no, I'm washed in by the grace. Now, 3:14, they will repent. His letters become that small. He has a downsided office. They say, you're washed up. 3:14. Now 3:14, they will not repent. The age will not repent. So now he has nothing to do. Where is he going to go? He has to wait for a message. And that is why he becomes Revelation 10:7 and Revelation 5:2. I heard a strong angel crying. Who is worthy to take the book and lose the seals? Because unless it's open, I have no message, because the seventh age has run out. So he's crying with a strong voice. Who is worthy to take the book and lose the seals thereof? And he's asking it, and he's answering it in the same language. No pope, no bishop, no
priest. Nobody is worthy.
Amen. Then Revelation 10:7 comes on the seals and opens up the seals. His job, he has no particular ministry, but he takes all the loose ends and reveals the mysteries contained in the seal. That's what he is. 10:7, that's what the prophet said. He has no particular ministry, but he reveals the seal, the mysteries contained in the seal. And then in the last words in the first seal was come out of the light. Now he's calling out the people who did not repent on the 3:14. Now there's what I'm showing you. He was a star-like messenger with two commissions. One, do the work of the evangelist. Second, reveal the mystery contained in his seal. The same man, just like Jesus. Then, after the seals are opened, because the spoken word original seal, the prophet said, as of this day, Malachi 4 has not been fulfilled. You can't turn people's heart back while they're still in Pentecost. You can't tell people how to back while they're still in denomination. Amen. Come on, come on. Then you can take them back to the middle of the world. Malachi 4, the opening of the first 6 years. Turn our heart back to apostolic father. Second part of Malachi 4 is revealed in Matthew 17:11. Elijah shall come and restore all things. Amen. That's Luke 17:50, the second part. Why did I say all of that to say this? That while the preaching of the word was 3:14, started in 1946, that was not the Son of Man message. Only the two signs was perfect. His doctrine was not. Before the opening of the word, the prophet preached the white horse rider of the Holy Spirit. He preached the souls that was under the altar of the early church. He preached the evidence of the Holy Ghost two different ways. Not fruits of the Spirit. Is that right? He told the evidence of the Holy Ghost in this pattern. That if you take the spirit of Dillinger and put it in a man, what would you get? Dillinger. If you take the spirit of Christ and put it in a man, what would you get? Christ. Is that what he said? He kept teaching that thought all the way up. Until 1965, he spoke broken sister, page 13. He said, I always thought that the evidence of the Holy Ghost was love, but the angel straightened me off on that. It is not love or fruits of the Spirit, but it's them who can understand the word of the day. He kept teaching that all the way up because remember the whole thing of the sea comes to correct the error, even the errors of the starlight messengers. That's why 65 he's given the evidence of the Holy Ghost by the angel. He said, straighten me out on that. Then when he came to force and the ones in the end times, he always thought it was the light. Dillinger's light, Christ's light. Then he comes to foolish virgin. Foolish virgin lives clean just like you, and she don't have the light.
Amen.
She's a virgin, she can live just like the bride in every way. Perfect bride, perfectly sanctified.
He
said, you shall know them by their fruits. He said, what? That's it.
Amen.
Watch what he's doing. Even he himself is being corrected. We don't correct him. No preacher has the right to correct him. Amen. The Son of Man and the Messenger does correct him.
Amen.
Watch now. All the way from 1960, Daniel 17 weeks, all the way back to the Revelation 2 weeks, from the God was in the seven thunders. He said, the seven thunders. It's not even written in the book.
Amen.
He said, there's seven thunders, there's seven other seals in the back side of the book. It says seven in the book and seven out of the book. That's 14. He said, there's seven thunders. It's not even written in the book. He quotes it in the seal book. He quotes it 1963 many places. Quotes it 1964 many places. Until somebody tried to stop him. So around these seven thunders would be something that is given to you, maybe you can write a book. Isn't that right? Then on page 83 of Spiritual Food and New Season, he said, I always thought it was something that was not written in the book. Come to find out, it's something that is easy.
Amen.
You got to write the divine starlight, moonlight, and sunlight. Starlight, church's messenger, twofold mystery. One, to the work of the evangelist. They will cause the age to repent. When they will not repent, Revelation 10 7 opens the mysteries of the field. The strong angels proclaim and quote them out. Come out of life. Amen. Malachi 4, 12, 16 will turn your heart back to apostolic order. That's the lost thing. That's the loose end. For the seven seals.
Amen.
That is why people are confused when they say the Son of Man started in 1946. There was only the two signs, not the word. That was starlight in the old world. God permitted him to say many things.
Yes.
That he would correct at the opening of the word. At the opening of the sea. In the sealed book, the prophet of God said, these seven angels that hold these seven thunders. In the same book where he said God will not permit him to make a mistake, was quoted that he has seven other seals that are not even written in the book.
Amen.
In the same book where he said God will not allow him to make a mistake. Now I know some of you, I'm not preaching to young believers. You pastors have to correct straight those things out with young believers. I'm preaching to them that I'm mature in the world already.
Amen.
That will not stumble you. That you are believers and convinced. But how we progress in the light from starlight to moonlight to sunlight.
Amen.
You gotta watch it. You could be preaching the message, but you could be preaching the wrong light.
Amen.
The wrong light. Yeah, the wrong light. I'll show you in a minute. And he called it a message. He called it a 7-seal message, 7 thunder. It'll do nothing for you. It'll do nothing for your people. Watch carefully now. The prophet says, the seven angels with the lamp, who holds these seven thunders. But in the seventh seal, there is that notable angel.
Yeah.
The one with the sweat back, the one with the seven seals.
Yeah.
He said, that one. And then he said, he didn't see it ready, but but he saw it on Paul in a threefold mystery. He said, I saw that moment at 17, where I had the seven trumpets, it unfolded, the seven trumpets unfolded in a threefold mystery. He didn't know that threefold mystery until 1965. Amen. When he took the rapture message and he preached, amen, and showed the book and the trumpet.
That is why God gives gifts unto men. Because it will be these gifts. Amen. Give you people could just read the message, still listen to the tape. Like give some of them project. You'll die there. Because they have that, even though it will be that a supernatural element, that element is for the gift he gives unto men. That's your pastor. Why am I saying all of this? Because when I say the day of Jesus Christ, which is the day of the Son of Man, and it's not 1946, the power to resurrect the devil on the earth in the form of a prophet. You say, no, that can't be, because look, he's preaching. His preaching was church age messenger from 1946. So let's look at a couple of things. There's a difference between the coming of the Lord and the appearing of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord comes three times in his corporal body. He comes to die in Jesus' body. That's the die for his bride. He comes for his bride and meets him in the air. He comes with his bride, Revelation 19. Amen. But before the Son comes on the scene, before Abraham's Son comes on the scene,
amen,
God appears in the form of a prophet.
Amen.
Amen. You're hearing for the coming. God appearing because Jesus cannot come because even the heavens must retain him until the rest. Coming. Now watch, we'll one step further. We know the finish is the seventh seal. We know that that seventh seal is seven thunders. We know that seven thunders are four and short boys and trumpets. We know before Shaul can come, it must have a 2-4 climax. One. Then he must have the voice. The voice behind the sun. We know that. Therefore, and I say that since the appearing and coming is in 2-4, the seventh seal is in a 2-4 mission.
Yeah.
The seventh seal is the appearing of God,
yes,
in the form of a prophet.
Amen.
The seventh seal is also the coming of the Lord in the
millennium.
Amen.
Amen.
The seventh seal is also the coming of the Lord in the millennium, Revelation 19. The seventh seal is also the millennium. So the seventh seal is in 2-4 mission. One,
yes,
God appearing in the form of a prophet in the Son of Man, and God coming to meet his bride in the air. 2-4 mission. The seventh seal. One more. God goes up into what I want to do with the day of Jesus Christ. Now God is in a 2-4 mission. Then the seventh seal is the coming and the appearing. The seventh seal is connected to the coming of the Lord, and the seventh seal is connected to God in human flesh.
Amen.
Since the seventh seal creates rapture and faith, will change your body,
yeah,
it will have to be going out in a ministry. Yeah. So the coming is an event. The appearing is a ministry.
Yes.
Alright, so I just said that the Son of Man is the seventh, a part of the seventh. That's not what I just told you. And you said amen. Is that right? How many amen did?
Yes.
You notice nobody says anything because you know I'm going to have to mock you. Seven seal is the ministry of the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
In three points. He started in 1946 in the two signs, but not the message. The message of the Son of Man, that's why the prophet was sent his souls in prison. He said, not in the days of the divine healing, not in the days of the divine, but in the days of his message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that quote? Yeah. Not when it begins with the divine healing, but in the days of his message. begin to do and then teach. Not teach and then do. Then they're closing it up. Watching it. There's a starlight, moonlight, and sunlight. But the starlight of 3:14 was at the same time of the rising of the sunlight that comes at the end of the service. Notice the two signs were always perfect. Never have to be correct. But the teaching has to be correct.
Amen.
Because it's on the word. So the message of the Son of Man, the word, first God revealed in power, then God revealed in His own word, then God revealed in flesh to His brothers. So the appearing of God has many forms. It appeared first in 1909 as a family appearing over the cradle. It appeared in 1970 when he was a little boy with a tree, is that right? Was it 70? Yeah, that's a personal appearance. Neither drink, neither smoke, then defile your body in any way. Notice, he never told Paul that. He never told Luther that. But he needed his body. 1933, the first public appearance. 1946, the first official appearance. Commission, official.
Yeah.
I come to commission you. I come to explain your ministry. 1946 in the king. 1950, his first scientific appearance. Science came to follow me. A universal appearing in a cloud. 1962 to 1964, God being revealed in His own word, appearing in His own word. 1965,
food
is the word made flesh. I want to show you the day of Jesus Christ is filled with many forms. Some of events, many events within that day, like in the Son of Man, not a particular day. So this is how I would say. John was caught up in the spirit in the Lord's day. I'm going to put that as a big sign, the Lord's day. Then I'm going to say, in the Lord's day are many sections. It's like in the book are many sections. In the Lord's day, one section is the day of grace. The day of Jesus Christ. When He comes to reveal Himself in the flesh. The text will come and find salt and find great grace. It is the day of warning before judgment. So in the Lord's day, there's the day of Jesus Christ of order. Mercy and judgment. Day of Jesus. And when God is revealing Himself in the day of Jesus Christ, it's not the day of the Lord. They're them who reject it. And they are not living in the day of Jesus Christ. They are really living in the day of man.
Amen.
So the day of Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, being revealed again in human flesh. See? In human flesh. Then you have the day of man. Then, after that, the bride climaxes the day of Jesus Christ as she goes up. And when she goes up in the rapture, Satan comes down. Now that is still the day of the Lord. And when Satan comes down, the bridegroom of Satan comes down, he starts persecuting the foolish virgins. That's called the wrath of Satan. That's 3.5 years of the wrath of the Lord. That's not the great and dreadful day of the Lord yet. That's Satan's wrath. Then the 144,000 is killed Moses and Elijah. When they are killed and seen, now the day of Satan's wrath is over. Now the day of God's wrath, the great and dreadful day of the Lord begins. To be poured out with all mixture. That's the unfolding of the day of Christ. 2 minutes now.
I want you to notice. Hear me. In the book of of Colossians 1:27. Can you read?
Yeah.
And I'm closing, I promise. Colossians, did I? Colossians 1:27.
Christ in you,
the hope of glory.
Christ in you, then, is the new birth. If you don't have the new birth, you have the hope, hoping, expectation. And the word glory is the word doxa. It means God's estimation of what you should be, God's opinion, a state or a condition that brings honor and glory, because that's what God has in His mind. That is perfect. So Christ in you is the new birth. If you don't have it, if you don't have that work that began in you, you have not the spirit of Christ, you don't belong to it. Christ in you, the gene, that gives you hope for the day of Jesus Christ, because He has the good work to finish it with glory. In other words, you might start as a child, you might be under the tutelage of the governor, but that's okay. One day you come to glory.
What's this done now? Mount Pyramid. One transfiguration, one transcendental. For you see from God the Father, honor and glory. Isn't that what we see here? Honor and glory, when there came a voice to him from the external glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Hallelujah! We see glory and honor. What is glory and honor? Glory and honor is adoption. Glory and honor is your finished work. Glory and honor. Adoption is too far. Coming into the image, position, amen. And my body changed, the way your body redemption. Is that right? One more, let's look at Romans, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and 23. For all have sinned, all sons have sinned and come short of God's expectation of what Adam was.
Yes,
of glory.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of that glory. But brother,
yes.
Amen, there was one and one transfiguration.
Amen.
He came to glory.
Amen.
And he became a wave.
Amen.
That is, amen, he is the first of many brethren. He is the first of many. In the day of Jesus Christ, he will be the glory. That's what the finish is.
Amen. Amen. Alright. That means, brother, we are going to come to that also. Amen. Can we go one more place? Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. I shouldn't say that. I keep prolonging it. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look where you are supposed to come to and from. Hebrews chapter 2. Starting with the 7 verse, I believe it is. Oh, sorry, 6 verse. But in one says in verse 25, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is son of man that thou wittest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angel. What's that? God crowns him with what? Isn't that what we see here? Isn't that what the hope of glory is? Isn't that in the day of Jesus Christ, he that started good work to finish it? How do you know this is the day of Jesus Christ? I saw one chance under glory. I saw one chance under the reason I saw my God. I saw God. They have never known me. Amen. One chance that God said, amen, you'll make a love in the church. He said, not what I say, son. Amen. In your hands.
What do you say?
Amen.
Went up to the Colorado Mountain. Yes. And he never asked. Before he asked, don't answer. Speak to the storm.
Amen.
I saw one son coming for oneness with God. I saw one son. And he said, come out of you.
Amen.
And
amen.
Bring your home. Look, it's not Jesus. He said, bring your home. He has come to a place where he can call God by his family name.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the written adoption of prophecies, Jehovah means God and his family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jehovah, who never answered outside the redemptive name for 2,000 years, answered back from the door of Abraham. And as he began to walk with Jehovah,
amen.
He saw his wife appear. He saw his body change. He said, I always felt. Now you have to connect this to the wings of a silver light up. I'm going up the back. Nothing to do. He said, I always thought I did something wrong. He said, Lord, if you reveal it to me again, right? It was the stigma of sin. Because we believe we are justified by faith,
yes.
And we have no guilt. That is by faith. But that doesn't mean you don't feel like that.
Amen.
The stigma remains because it's by faith we believe.
Yeah.
But there comes a day when your faith becomes a reality.
Amen.
That you are no longer, not only believe your guilt, not only will you believe your virtue.
Yeah.
to finish. He would start the work of a finish. Amen. And the finish has a residue of any conviction. No condemnation. There is no way you have never done it. I must not just be my faith, but be a reality. Yeah. That's the finish. He would start the good work. He finishes.
That's true. Amen.
So I always come at this time wrong. Then God tested it. Like Abraham's speech, finding out, possess the gates of your enemy after trial. But the two dead, check and fuck them one after the other. I had a red shirt on. But you see, brother, when there is no condemnation, there is no unbelief. Where there is no unbelief, there is no fear. Where there is no fear, animals can sense fear. But fear comes by unbelief.
Yes. Amen.
You can't walk not the path to the school. You can't want not to be trusted. You can't want that everybody, because you live right, people must treat you right. Amen. You can't want the pastor to kick out all the gossipers, all the liars, all the troublemakers, all the pretenders, all the hypocrites. You can't want to kick and preach all of them out of the church, because they are so important to you.
Amen.
Because if you say you've got patience, there's somebody there to try.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You say they're liars. Amen. If you say they're backbiters. If you say they're troublemakers. If you say they're always talking about me, you might think yourself too important. Who are they to talk about my family? You get upset. Opposite your very testimony. And you said you'll be in the
tribulation. Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, this man makes my life miserable. Hey, this man, he is so cruel. Hey, this man. Amen. But as long as it hurts you, it will provoke some reaction. And by your reaction, you're telling him.
Amen.
Here, God bless you, and I give you grace to finish the course.